Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we want to face the issues. May I remind us, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not based on some denominational choice, ideology, or philosophy, or particular bent, or some call it their own little whims and wishes. That's not the approach that we take at all. We're facing issues on an increasing and alarming basis in America today that I believe that we need to have the tools by which we can do so. I pray that as you listen each day, you are encouraged, you're challenged, you're informed and educated with the issues that we deal with. And as a result of that, and I pray that it will cause you to be more alert of some of the things that's taking place. When we face the issues, we do so based on the Scripture. The Scripture is the Word of God. It is truth. It is not just a source book for truth. It is the fountainhead of truth itself. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. And so we face the issues based on the truth of the Word of God. And so as we as you join in today, let me invite you to mentally make a note of this telephone number, 401-1413, 904-401-1413. We're going to cover a pretty broad range today, but we're going to try to do so in a brief period of time to boil it down to challenge us as to what God would have us to do. But before we get into the elongated monologue today, let me just say, for your edification, some of the things that we'll be covering in the next several days, this week and next week, some of the things we'll be looking at. What about the modification of Scripture? We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different so-called translations out there. Is it a translation, or are we just simply modifying Scripture? Are we reducing Scripture to its lowest common denominator and then trying to make it fit the modern world in which we're living in? The question is, what about the modification or the modifying of Scripture? Secondly, we want to talk about an issue that is very relevant and real, and sometimes Christians understand it only slightly, but it's a subject called the coming Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? Where is he? What is he doing? What will he be like? When will he come on the stage? What will be his authority and power? Where will he receive his authority and power? What should the Christians do today in relationship to the coming Antichrist? Another subject that we'll want to cover, will Jesus literally reign on the earth for 1,000 years? Will there be a literal millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ? Another subject we'll look at, once saved, always saved, ? Is that true? When a person gets saved, can they sin and do what they wish? When a person gets saved, are they saved forever? Can a person ever get lost again after he is saved? Several of those things we want to talk about that I believe would be a challenge to us in hearing them and seeing what the Scripture says about them. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe our society today, listen carefully, I believe our society today is perhaps faced with many grave, moral, ethical, political, social issues as never before. I don't know a time in my lifetime that there's been so many issues, so many things coming together at a single time and space in history as we're finding it today. Perhaps more facing us today than in my lifetime and perhaps even in your lifetime. What are some of these issues? Now, ladies and gentlemen, in my elongated monologue today, I want to simply recap without going into great detail on any of them. The whole litany, and I'm sure there are more, but a broad brush whole litany overview of some of these moral, ethical, social, political issues that we're faced with in America. And then after we do that, what I'm going to do is ask the question, should Christians be silent? Are we, as Christians, when we stand up and speak up, are we in fact judging someone, as so often is the public accusation? What should Christians do? Should Christians warn the world? Should Christians take a stand in relationship to these issues? There's a whole host of opinions out there on this, but I want to find out what the Scripture says and where we ought to go. We'll look at this overview of the issues, and then we'll look at what the Scripture says about judging. Yes, judging. You know, there are a lot of folks that say, well, you're just judging me. But I want to see what that Scripture really says. And then we want to find out what God directs us to do in relationship to these issues. Now, with that understanding, let me remind us again. 401-1413 is the telephone number that you can jump in at any place in this discussion. What are some of these issues? Well, we're watching the onslaught of Islam in America. Our children's textbooks are presenting Islam as peaceful, acceptable, and superior to Christianity and Judaism. We're finding Chrislam being promoted through Rick Warren and others, where he goes into the mosque and he teaches that God and Allah are the same. Chrislam is starting to spread, one headline says, across America. Another article says, school assignment, write to your family a make-believe letter saying that you're converting to Islam. Here's another headline. American security experts say Islam under U.S. Constitution should not be considered a religion at all because it's a totalitarian ideology. So some of those things trouble me when we see them taking place on a broad, wide-scale basis. We'll get back to the question, should Christians be silent? What should Christians do? Should we stand up? Some of the other issues, very quickly. The sodomite movement today, with the recruitment of our kids, the push to indoctrinate our children from kindergarten through college, the push to destroy the morals and the ethics and the values in our kids and younger age in society today, to form them and to recruit them into the LGBT community is a real push today. And I don't know if you're aware of it. I don't know how often you consider it and you're concerned about it. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a major push, and it's not just something that's happenstance. It's not something that's hit and miss. It is an agenda by the LGBT sodomite community across America to indoctrinate and to recruit our boys and our girls into their system and lifestyle of the moral living and a lifestyle of being confused over their sexuality. There's a push also, ladies and gentlemen, to normalize abortion and the transgenderism and to demean anyone that says anything about it. It's a demonic push. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying in this monologue today is giving us a broad brush overview of some of these social, ethical, moral, political issues that we're faced with today. There's the increasing effort to elevate socialism and communism into our colleges and universities. In fact, it is not an unusual thing to find some of the millennials today saying that they prefer socialism and communism. In fact, I have an article before me says, hey, millennials, you want socialism? Read this. And it goes into the historical background of socialism and communism and what it really does to a society and to a people. We have universities and university and colleges and campuses in the academic setting that's having courses teaching the millennials and the youngsters in colleges and universities today that socialism and communism is a better form of government. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's not been a socialistic nation or a communistic nation on the face of the globe that's ever been successful in continuing that system. If you don't believe it, just look at Venezuela and look at Cuba and see what the end result of socialism and communism is. But nevertheless, that's some of the push that we see today taking place. We see also the push to make America a drug haven of the world. We're watching as pot, that's P-O-T, pot, the marijuana crowd, pushing and state after state after state because of the greed and the gravis of state legislators and the politicians wanting to put more money in the pot that they can do what they please with, and the people simply become the little ants that tread out the funds and make it available for the politicians to make then the people their subjects rather than the people, we the people, being over the politicians. And then there's the explosive growth of all kinds of new cults and false teachings and aberrant theologies as I have never seen in my lifetime. What are some of these false doctrines and aberrant theologies? Well, perhaps you've heard it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if it steps on your toe, I'm not going to apologize because I speak based on the authority of Scripture. And I want us to understand there's some dangers. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dr. Youngblood. This is Let's Face the Issues. We're dealing with some of these social, moral, ethical issues today and some that would be borderline on what would be called political. They're biblical. If they're biblical, there are no such thing as political versus secular issues. But we're talking about them, and the question is, should Christians be silent? Or should we stand up and speak up? And you can call and jump in this dialogue and discussion at any time. The number is 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Join in, ask your question. You might disagree if you like. We're not going to be disagreeable. But you may disagree. You may have other ideas or thoughts that you could join in the discussion. We're talking about some of these false doctrines and cultic philosophies and ideologies, and some of these things that are coming about today that's being published and printed and sold and marketed through Christian bookstores and Christian books and Christian movies, Christian videos. What about the stories of someone dying and going to hell for 32 minutes and coming back and warning the world that hell is a bad place? Well, you don't have to die and go to hell to discover that. God's Word proves that. God's Word says that. And there's no such thing as dying and going any place and coming back. There's some that have written books and movies. And they discovered then after some movies were done just a few years back where it was a total fallacy, a total false, a total fake story about a young lad that had died and gone to heaven and came back and warning the people about how wonderful it was and how tall Jesus was, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is that possible? Absolutely no. Not according to the Scripture. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. What about the rejection of the doctrine of the rapture of the church? What about the rejection of the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ here on the earth? There are those that are out and out rejecting the reality of hell. There's some that reject the reality of a personage called Satan. There are those that teach that God has already determined who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. It's called predestination, ladies and gentlemen. These are aberrant, false, unbiblical, unfounded thoughts and philosophies that's being touted in the Christian world today. The false doctrine of speaking in tongues for today. Yes, I know that'll uncover a lot of rocks and bugs roll out. I understand that. But ladies and gentlemen, I can prove to you biblically and scripturally that's an aberrant theology. That's an aberrant doctrine. That doesn't mean a person's lost and going to hell if he believes that and teaches that, but it's simply unbiblical. And I'll not spend my time on that today, but simply touching on that is one of the issues. What about the philosophy and being taught and books written on it? Courses, by the way, in some Bible colleges, some talking about dancing in church and how you learn how to dance before God. Is that biblical? Multitudes of other non-biblical teachings are being espoused today, and yet Christians are attempted to be silenced, that we're not to say anything and not to speak because of the text that says, judge not, lest ye should be judged. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at that text in just a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning. Doc, this is just a comment, but I believe it's an important comment. I thoroughly agree with what you said with respect to the acceleration of our decline into utter apostasy. I've just had a meeting this morning with a man who respects your ministry greatly and has come under the influence of your radio broadcast to his welfare. But in having some discussions about some things in his church and his family, I realized just how dramatically we have departed from the essentials of the faith, the basic doctrines that we have been told as believers to cling to, and how we are heaping up unto ourselves teachers having itching ears. Here, yes. Here are some of the specifics. When I came back to my home, Cindy handed me something on her phone she wanted me to look at. It's something I've seen in the past but forgot about. But it was a presentation Oprah Winfrey gave that absolutely denies Jesus is the only way and appeals to this great world spirit that's nothing more than pantheism or panentheism that is completely sweeping our nation courtesy of the Gaia movement. Most people probably don't recognize the term Gaia, but it actually just goes back to the witch spirit of Canaan. It is the Mother Earth spirit today of whom Oprah Winfrey has become the high priest. And because of her money and her influence, millions of women, Baptist and otherwise foundationally grounded people, have been sucked into this vortex of apostasy that sounds so good, so sweet, so kind, but absolutely is from the pit of hell. And over the years, I've been doing some writing myself, and now I'm watching, as you said this morning, these events accelerate dramatically that to the spiritually astute, and there aren't too many left in this old world anymore, there is a tremendous red light flashing that says, pay attention, folks. We are going right back as quickly as we can to the days of Noah. And if we don't understand what that pretends, that we need to be looking up and expecting that mysterious return of Christ immediately, the rapture of the church out, if we do not understand that, don't look for it, then the blood of the people will be upon their own heads because you and some others are the watchmen on the wall saying, folks, it's here, it's here. And brother, they're not listening. So keep preaching this message. The time is short. The events are going to do nothing more than accelerate. And I'm going to point out one more thing, and I appreciate you letting me take this time.
Yes.
Against what I have been doing in the past because of some problems I have with some things happening in the sports arena, I still watched the national championship game last night. And I could not understand why we had this anomalous event of a young Hawaiian man who hadn't played all year long, steps on the field for Alabama, and does some things that just defy explanation in front of the President of the United States until, because he threw the winning touchdown in an impossible situation, he said, quote, my parents were probably going to be angry with me for saying this, but I have to give glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so on a national stage with a president who was placed in his position by God, this young man doing the impossible before millions that were watching said, I must give glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I'm
so thankful for what that young man said last night, but also reminded me we live in a dangerous age, and if we don't stand up and do what he bravely did, give glory to our Father and point to Jesus as the only way, then we're not doing what God has told us to do. Time is short. God bless you. I'm sorry to take up so much time.
No. God bless you. Thank you so much for your comments. It fits intricately into what I am saying today and the point that I ultimately want to make. Thank you so much for that call. Here's a very brief statement from Liberty Counsel's Matt Staver. It says, today in the United States, Christians are being vilified, fined, and even jailed solely because they hold a pro-faith viewpoint of life. Business is being shut down, livelihoods threatened, as Christians are being told to submit or quit. the culture war in America has intensified to the point that an individual organization that opposes the radical LGBT and anti-faith agenda will be punished or even destroyed. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we live in that society today where there's an attempt to absolutely undermine and tear down and destroy anything that's called biblical Christian faith, the biblical Judeo-Christian faith that at one time was revered and looked at with honor and reverence in America no longer is the case. Here's an article that I'll just jump in very briefly before we make our transition into the biblical text that gives us the admonition of where we ought to be that our caller just touched on a moment ago that we're going to amplify on in relationship to that. Here's a brief article. I'm jumping in the middle of it. He said, I consider marijuana to be the most dangerous drug out there. It, in my considerable experience, it's wrecked more lives than any other mind alternate, with the exception of alcohol. It isn't an instantaneous destructive as many other illegal drugs. But for the habitual user, pot and its inherent qualities slowly remove ambition and cognitive functions, both in short and long-term memory and life's usefulness. Ladies and gentlemen, that should frighten us to death. And yet we find so many that are trying to say that these things are not relevant, and if we say anything about them, that we're simply trying to be judgmental, and we ought not to be, according to some philosophy. So the question that we're dealing with today, and the question that I started out with, is should Christians be silent? When we're not silent, are we viewed as judging others? What does the Scripture say? I realize we've looked at and reviewed a great list of these things that we're talking about. I'm trying to summarize them, though, for our understanding. But the question must be asked, should Christians be silent? Or should we stand up and speak up and voice a warning of danger? What does the Bible say in relationship to that? I agree with what Ezekiel 33:10 says, the latter portion of that verse. How should we then live? And that was the mantra that was asked so many years ago by Francis Schaeffer in a video that he had produced, How Should We Then Live? It's talking about the condition of society, where we are, where we've declined to, and then the question, how should we then live? What should we do? And here's a text, ladies and gentlemen, that I want us to think on for a moment because it's so used so wrongly in the society in which we live. Scripture says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and following, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first, this is the key now, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou clearly cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a philosophy somehow today that if a Christian says something, then we are judging. One writer said, and may I just simply quote him, last year there was an editorial in the local newspaper made a preposterous claim, quote, he declared that the only hope for a peaceful coexistence of mankind was that each of us must accept and respect the other guy's truth. We can't be dogmatic and say that the other guy is wrong. But in articulating such a standard, the writer himself is engaged in judging, not to mention being dogmatic. And I could go on and on and on with that article. But simply put, what does it mean to judge? What does it mean to judge? We need to understand that there's a difference in judging. You walk in a restaurant, you look at the menu, you judge, you look down, you determine this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. Society in general has been told that the idea of tolerance and moral relativism is what we ought to do. We seem to have forgotten that God's law, and we simply need to follow what God says and not what culture demands and what culture says. So what does the Bible teach us about judging? Should believers sit down and be silent on the sidelines? Should we watch in silence and do nothing as our families and our friends and our neighbors and our nation simply is destroyed by this tolerant attitude and philosophy? Ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a few things here that we judge on. We judge horse shows. We judge beauty contests. We judge cooking and baking contests. We judge car racing. We judge between candidates at election time. We look at the restaurant menu and we judge. We roll the TV dial and we judge what station we want to watch. We judge between people to whom we will be married to. We judge job offers. We judge between schools and between classes and what we want to take. We learn as we live in a society that hates being judged for its sin. And it is unfortunate, may I remind us, that more and more churches are wanting to be tolerant rather than to speak out and judging sin. Ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture says, judge not. That's the command that's directed there in the Scripture. But may I remind us, it's not forbidding us to make a determination and call sin, sin. What if you see a small child and that small child picks up a bottle of poison? He puts it to his or her mouth to drink. Not only would you make a judgment, but you would run up and slap that from his hands to prevent him from drinking it and it being too late. It is not difficult when we witness a young person putting the poison of sin to his or her lips for us to determine that sin, that's wrong. It ought not to be. May I remind us, then the Scripture says that you be not judged. Hey, listen, be careful when we make a judgment decision. The question is, how's your life? If you point out sin in that life, is that same sin in your life? This is the reason the Scripture says, remove that sin from your life and then point the sin out and make the judgment call in the other life. Have you ever done or said something with a pure motive, yet someone not knowing your heart judged and condemned you? Well, that happens quite often, and that happens more often than not in the lives of those that are Christians and simply trying to warn the world of sin and the need to repent, of the moral ethical declensions and the need to be obedient to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's the consequences that's pointed out in verse 2, 3, and 4 in Matthew chapter 7, that we need to be careful about how we judge unless we've made sure that our life is right before God. The whole point is, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society today where there is a attitude toward Christians if we take a stand. Because the philosophy is, even among so-called Christians and some churches and some denominations, we need to embrace the sodomite, we need to embrace the drug potheads, we need to embrace the philosophy and the attitude that everything is okay, we'll just have a come-by-y'all moment because we don't want to offend anybody. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what God charged Ezekiel with the responsibility of doing in his life and ministry. In fact, he was called upon to be the judge as a watchman on the wall. And the Scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 33, as God was speaking to Ezekiel, God said, listen, Ezekiel, if you're not obedient, if you do not follow, and death and destruction comes, then the blood is upon your hand. But if you warn the people, you stand up and you watch, you're alert, and you warn that danger's ahead, the enemy's coming, then you will be vindicated, and the blood will not be upon your hands. Ladies and gentlemen, here's something that I need to take a moment and insert here. This particular writer, in fact, it's by Walter Kaiser from his book, Toward Evangelical Theology. Walter Kaiser said a number of years ago, it's no secret that Christ Church is not in good health in many places in the world today. She has been languishing because she has been fed, as the current line has it, junk food. All kinds of artificial preservatives and all sorts of unnatural substitutes have been served up in the church. As a result, theological and biblical malnutrition has affected and afflicted the very generation that has taken such giant steps to make sure its physical health is not damaged by the foods or the products that are harmful to other bodies. Simultaneously, worldwide spiritual famine resulting from the absence of genuine publication of God's Word. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it's necessary for Christians, yes, we ought to stand up. We ought to speak up. We need to be, as Ezekiel, a watchman on the wall, warning the world that there's danger ahead, not embracing, not being tolerant, with that which is taking place in society, but speaking up and standing up and pointing people to the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I pray that you're challenged today to stand up and speak up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. Looking forward to our broadcast even tomorrow as once again we meet on the air.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.